Hi everyone, I'm Greg Lowe from Down Under in Australia. PG Down Under is a production from SQL Down Under. It covers Postgres, aspects of which are owned by the Postgres Global Development Group and the Regents of the University of California. Opinions and views expressed in the podcast are individual and don't necessarily reflect the opinions and views of SQL Down Under, of the owning organizations, or the organizations that guests are part of. Introducing Show 5 with guest Grant Fritchie. Welcome. Our guest today is Grant Fritchie. Grant has worked in IT for more than 30 years as a developer and DBA, and I've known him for many of those years. Grant is known for his writing as a Microsoft Data Platform MVP and an AWS community contributor, and is a product evangelist with our friends at Redgate. So welcome, Grant.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Indeed. And so now in the Postgres side of things, where previously we've normally been talking on the SQL Server side of things, so it looks to me, so tell us about your role, because it seems to be that you're pretty much focusing on Postgres now.
Well, it's more of an ad. I do spend a lot of time in Postgres now, but I'm still very much a data platform SQL Server person. I'm actually rewriting my query tuning book as we speak.
On execution SQL Server plans things, or the query tuning one.
Yeah, okay, query cool. Tuning. Yeah. It's getting a facelift for 2025. But we've added Postgres pretty hard. I've been diving into it pretty full. It is probably a little more of my time than SQL Server right now for Redgate. Mm-hmm. But it's not a replacement. It's an ad.
I had Ryan on a while ago chatting about that was good too. So actually, from a company point of view, how much is Redgate leaning into Postgres?
Hard. Redgate really. It's a couple of things. We're really excited by the technology. Postgres is, from a technology standpoint, there's a lot going on there, and it's really exciting, and we're doing some fun stuff. Our monitoring tool can now host it on Postgres, and I can't drop numbers because nothing's official.
No.
I'm just going to say it's faster on Postgres. That's all I can say. So we're pretty excited about it. So there's some really fun stuff going on with it. The functionality.
Outstanding. Yeah, I'm seeing more and more content from Redgate in that direction. So yeah, that's great. So what are you spending most of your days doing at present?
Well, the big one that we're running on right now is we've got this free tool that we've been putting out. We've got a couple of free tools. We've got PG Compare and PG Now. PG Now is the free monitoring tool. I don't want to call it a monitoring tool, more like an observation tool. It lets you see what's going on on a given cluster at the moment. It's a great insight into what's going on inside. It kind of just came out of our own experimentation and learning, as we're figuring out, how best to look at Postgres. Observability and measuring is so important to any database platform.
Is free. This is free as in beer and freeware, or
unless I'm told otherwise. Yeah, it is absolutely free. I mean, and honestly, there's no reason why we'd want to sell it. It's a simple tool. We built it as a learning experience more than anything. So it's not something that we want to sell. It's nice. It's pretty. We like it. I'm not throwing rocks at it. It's actually a great little tool. But it's not competition for us. It's much more a thing that, like, this is we've found this useful. Let's share it. Maybe others do too. That's
Yeah,
basically the
that's
approach.
excellent. I did find when I tried it today, I had to log on to the Redgate site. So it was sort of interesting that it went through the tool, got me to log on there, and then it sort of continued on. And so is this really to answer the database is running slow type questions?
Really, it is. It's just a it's a quick view into the, what's happening. What queries are running now? What kind of waits are they experiencing? Which processes are running now? What kind of blocks? It's just generally an access level tool. What's happening immediately on your server? You know what I mean? And you can get in there and just take a look at it. And
The
pick one
workload
database,
stuff seem
looks multiple
to,
databases.
yeah, the workload stuff seemed to depend on an extension, so the pgstat statements extension.
Oh
And
yeah.
so to get that in, I had to add that to the PostgreSQL.conf file to get that added as a sort of a shared preload library. And the create extension thing, so we have to do that in each database.
No, it's 'cause it's PG stats.
Yeah,
That's
that's an
cluster
extension
wide.
across the board, but yeah, I was finding it seemed to want me to do it inside each database, the create extension. But I suppose the thing is, we don't have directly the equivalent of extended events or things like that that we had in SQL Server territory. So this one allows us to hook into the statements to find out more about what's going on.
Yeah, I mean it's one of those. Don't get me started on extended events, because I have got a long, serious love affair. It is it you know it, it's just that view in there. I mean, the thing is you can actually run it without the extension, and it still will give you information about your databases and your cluster. It just can't give you as much, right? Because it's if you want to have some understanding of what's going on with the queries, that's in PG stats. I mean, there's no getting around
Well, I
that.
liked it actually. It had the usual, how much time do you spend reading? How much time does it spend writing on a query? It had the plan time, I remember noting in there, and it also seemed to, under the covers, it used that track IO timing, one of the server parameters to make sure that it could get the IO timing. But yeah, the workload analysis side of it seemed pretty compelling actually, and something that I'd always sort of missed when working with this product.
Well, I mean, it's interesting. I've been in the Postgres community now for a while, it's really the only community that I've run into that it feels as good to me as the SQL Server community does. It's a bunch of great people doing great stuff and sharing with one another, which is awesome. But it's been really interesting because it is a different community, right? I'm not. Not better, not worse, different. And the one big difference in Postgres has been around instrumentation, because, well, it, and it, you know, it's interesting because so many people who work in Postgres are developers, and they've got this insane comfort with the debugger that I don't have. So
So
it's like
it's funny when
I
you
just don't see
mention
it.
the debugger. I remember seeing something in one of the SQL forums the other day to do with Management Studio and with SQL Server, and one of the guys was saying, "Oh, if only the debugger would come back." And I think, I've worked with this product for like 33 years or something, and the number of times I've found the debugger useful is like zero.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I'm right there with you.
I don't share the enthusiasm here. So, hey,
Yeah,
look, so
me
the
too.
second thing I noticed it could do was diving into live sessions as well, which that's really very good. And so I think that looked like the info was coming out of PG Stat activity, but yep. It was, yeah, giving us live query stat stuff. That's really good.
Well, I mean, I think to me, the nice thing about PG now is there's no magic in the world, right?
It's nicely wrapping up things that are already there and making them presentable. Yeah.
It's the information is out there. I mean, if you want to learn how to observe your Postgres entity cluster, documentation's out there. You can do it all yourself. You don't need us. We're not doing anything so special that you're replacing everything. If anything, it's just that we've done a whole bunch of work, so you don't have to. It's just all in one place. Again, they've been using it as a way to experiment and play. And so, that's all there is to it. It's just another way to get things out there and try stuff out. But it really is information that you can do it all yourself. It's just,
but the thing that's nice, I think, with this is the audience for the product is getting broader and broader. And makes the use of these sort of tools more and more useful, right? Because I keep looking at things that people take for granted in the SQL Server side of things and then say, what's then missing, particularly tooling-wise, in the Postgres side of things?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been telling the story now for a while, but I'll probably keep telling it. The way I've been building up Postgres and Postgres knowledge and, articles and books and stuff that we've been doing, I feel like a drug dealer, because I'll be at a SQL Server event, and I'll be talking SQL Server, but yeah. I'll get somebody come up and go like, Grant, I hear you've got Postgres. I got to talk. it's always this quiet whisper. There's just more and more people that, it's greenfields are almost always on Postgres these days. I know I'm not going to name names because I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but I know very experienced SQL Server data platform people who are adding Postgres skills now because they have to because of work.
Totally.
It's just happening mm-hmm. everywhere. So,
look, I quite liked in PG Now, there was also a settings review that went through and looked for any sort of configuration issues. Do you know any of the sort of things that it's particularly looking for?
I'm going to plead ignorance here and say I don't recall that bit.
The other one that was interesting there too, of course, was it had stuff that looked for the health of vacuuming. So it looked specifically for auto vacuum and auto analyze thresholds not set right and things like that. That's just straight useful. But for a developer, the other one, of course, is the whole indexing area. And it seemed to have quite a bit of coverage in the indexing area.
It does. It's one of those things that we've been trying to get a lot better at ourselves is keeping an eye on what's going on with indexing, because as we all know, I mean, sure. Parameter tuning is a thing in Postgres. It's very important. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, where are your problems? Queries, right?
Yeah.
It's queries. And so, what can impact query behavior? Indexes.
Yeah.
It's interesting in Postgres how non-sensitive queries can be to indexes and stuff like that. I'm not quite sure how to describe it. A mushier middle in Postgres than there is in SQL Server, which is really, really dependent upon indexing. But indexing still is a major play inside of Postgres. It has the same effects. And so understanding what's going on with any given, query set of queries with any given index set of indexes, the general behavior of that index, how big it is, how many tuples being read, blocks being read, right? All of that kind of stuff, and how the index access is affected, it all matters, right? I mean, it always comes back, you know, to queries and indexing, even, you know, even across platform and multiple different database systems.
Hi, this is Greg coming to you from another time and place. If you have a data-related project that needs to get off to a great start with the right architecture, or if you have an existing project that's off the rails, why not contact us? We help organizations of all sizes, from startups to tier one financials, and we can help you too. Check us out at sqldownunder.com. Yeah, the indexing section was interesting, actually. So it did have return details there on missing indexes for a start. And so that's always kind of useful. I've always had frustrations with the automatic version of that that's in SQL Server. Some of the suggestions that come back are just ridiculous at times. But in fact, I think the biggest problem I had with that sort of automated system still is that they don't look beyond the particular operation they're doing. So, for example, if I can avoid lookups by having certain things in an index and whatever, but it then never looks and goes, oh, hang on, then shortly after I'm going to sort things. And if I had just rearranged the thing I was suggesting for the lookup, then we'd completely avoid the sort, you know. So it, and but the thing that's interesting I find in the SQL Server side is that when you then create what would be the better index, it immediately looks and goes, oh yeah, that's better, and grabs it.
Right.
But it didn't make the decision that's what it should have done in the first place. So that always kind of fascinates me.
Don't get me started on missing index information.
Look, so missing indexes seem to be in the list. Inefficient indexes were in the list as well. Not sure if I didn't seem to find any real detail as to what they were considering inefficient indexes, but I don't know if you have any thought on what that might have been.
It's just a little formula in the background, you know, basically looking at, you know, how much of it, you know, is getting the scan versus how much, you know, how many blocks are read and you know, it versus the scan seek. I mean, it's just, they just do a little calculation in the back, it's a ballpark, right? It's not meant to be a panacea.
Sort of nasty things, you know, like duplicate indexes. I have lots of friends still to this day can't work out why databases even let you create duplicate indexes. But
oh yeah, I was shocked at how easy it is, and not throwing a rock, but boy, it was easier to create duplicate indexes in Postgres than it is in SQL Server.
Yeah, although it's duplicates one. What I find is more common is I find indexes that are subset indexes. You know, so it'll be, there's an index on A comma B and there's an index on A comma B comma C and so on. And that is one that in PGNow I didn't see it come back and flag that sort of thing. So I'll probably chat to the developers and say, hey, that would be really good to have. It did have unused indexes that it was flagging, which is always kind of useful. I don't know if it has weird side effects with that, though, because I know with SQL Server I always had some difficulty with some of the unused indexes because there were indexes that would cause a different plan to be generated, but the index was never used. And it's because they were looking at the index and it looked at the number of times it was, there were seeks and updates and things and whatever. And it went, hang on, this thing isn't being used. But if you removed it, you got a completely different query plan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I often thought there should have been some sort of flag there that said this was used in a query plan, you know, even though it wasn't, there was no seek and scan going on this index. And so that's a tougher one to sort of work with. But I mean, that's one of the ones that always makes me nervous, you know, a bit. And in particular, I find it applies if you have unique indexes where that happens. Because again, you're sort of enforcing something that doesn't necessarily mean that index will be used. So anyway, because you can imply different things from it. I did find when I tried it, it flagged index size. So I suppose that's an important aspect.
Well, I mean, it all adds up, right? If you're scanning, you know, I mean, scans are scans, right? And so you can mm-hmm. scan a heap, you can scan an index. Once the index has hit a certain size, depending on the scan, depending on the query, you can be better off scanning the heap than scanning the index. I mean, it just depends.
Yeah, totally.
You know, I mean, it once again, it's one of those. There's no magic again, and no panacea, but it's information. And so we're walking you up to problem spaces. We're not necessarily literally telling you, that something is a problem. So it's a big index would be, oh yeah, that seems large. Why is that there? You know, I mean, but again, it's just still one of those, we're walking you up to the edge of what might be something that you need to be concerned with, but possibly it's no big deal.
Actually, it was interesting that the navigation down through the product in that way was sort of drilling down through tables, basically by size, and then index scans within that, and then things like average tuples or tuples per sequential scan and so on, that sort of detail. But yeah, I just found it interesting that it sort of drilled down that way. Again, though, these are things that under the covers are there. So there's PG Stat user indexes, PG, what's it, Stat.io user indexes, and PG Stat user tables. So those sort of things are already in place, and it's querying that. One that I quite liked is it returned details on index shared buffer usage. And I thought that was kind of interesting.
Okay, well, you've just gone past my knowledge base.
It's interesting that Postgres has a PG Stat.io user indexes thing you can query, and it's sort of interesting because that's not something you'd easily get if we were in SQL Server territory. Like if I said to you in the buffer cache, how much of that that's in there is for indexes? I'm not sure how you'd answer that.
Yeah, no kidding. I don't know that you could. But, I mean, it's one of those we've got how many? There's at least two teams of developers working just on Postgres, just on the monitor side of Postgres. Mm-hmm. There's a team working on our paid product, Redgate Monitor, but then there's a team working on this. And They cross communicate obviously all the time, but the team working on this frequently does some fun stuff that will, you know, every once in a while I'll be like, hey, wait a minute, why don't we have this over in the main product?
Yeah.
So I mean, it's
an interesting question too. Earlier you mentioned PG Compare. So where's that at? Is that a freeware one as well?
PG Compare is there's. I'm going to get in trouble for this. I don't care. PG Compare is free, but they're kind of making you hop through a couple of hoops to get at it.
It fascinated me, that one, because if I look at how many people in the past came to Redgate, it was from the toolkits that did Compare and Schema Compare and all those things. That was the entry into the company.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, it 1998 is when the company launched, and I bought Compare I'm pretty sure I must have been the first customer.
And look, with good reason, because it just actually worked.
Yeah, it was just one of those things of like,
yeah.
There was always something, you know, why is production acting funny? Oh, it's different. Why?
Yeah.
Why is QA acting funny? It's different, right? I mean, why is dev acting funny? It's different. So it's always finding those differences. I mean, it just always.
Yeah, to me, actually, the bigger one I used to run into was, of course, deployments would fail. And that was because the environments that the people were testing in right up through to UAT and whatever then weren't the same as the production ones. And it was... again, just because, I mean, you understand how it gets like that. I mean, 3 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday or something and somebody has to fix something and they do, but yes, it doesn't quite wander its way back into the rest, into the way things are supposed to be done as it might have.
No kidding. Well, it's hilarious you said it that way because I always say 3 a.m. happens is the way I'd always described it. So yeah, it's perfect. 3 a.m. It's like you hit my perfect time.
And yes, you know, in a perfect DevOps world, you would go back, you would fix the problem, you would roll it forward and so on.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you just know that nobody... isn't what happens so often. You know, somebody
right.
is under the gun to just fix a particular problem and they just fix it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how it goes. So, I mean, it and thing is, same thing in Postgres. You want to know what the differences between two databases are?
Yep.
let's check them out.
Actually, some of the things I really quite like in Postgres too, that they do much simpler than what we had in SQL Server. So, for example, in SQL Server, they discourage you from naming constraints, like default constraints. But then if I have to do something with the column, like drop the column, the first thing I have to do is drop the constraint, and I have to know the name of it.
Yeah.
So that whole loop is just completely loony, you know, where at least the Postgres one, you drop the column and the default constraint disappears anyway.
Right.
And so there was no point even, you know, there's no concept of giving it a name in the first place. So there's a whole bunch of those things that I think are just simpler, you know, in the way they work. But they're the sort of things that when you're doing a compare across databases, you know, like system allocated names for things and stuff are the sort of stuff that can bite you.
And we've been dealing with that. So, I mean, it's part of the tool. It's not perfect yet. Please, if anyone out there listening tries it out and you hit snags, let us know. But we are working on making sure that as you put it, the names are not a limiting factor. So you know, it is a big part of what we're doing is making sure that we can, you know, compare structures, not simply names.
And look, before we wrap up, of course, there is the monitor tool. And so where's it at the moment?
Well, Redgate. Well, again, Redgate Monitor, fully hosted on Linux, runs completely on Postgres, and then it's multi-platform. We monitor Postgres. Obviously, we've got two teams working on it, but we also still monitor SQL Server. We're expanding that and growing that constantly. We've also got a team dedicated to Oracle, and it's
running really well. That was my next question, really well. Actually.
Oh, yeah. And
how broad is this going? Yeah.
Oh yeah, well, and I love saying this. My teammate Kellen Gorman is helping us get the Oracle stuff better and better all the time, and she is awesome. I can't say enough nice things about her. I'm contractually obligated. No, I'm kidding. She's just too incredible. But anyway, and we've got some MySQL stuff in there. Not going to talk about that a lot,
no,
but it's there.
I must admit, not a big fan.
Yeah. I'm not gonna say bad things, but I can't say good things.
Hey, Thurston, before we wrap up, Grant, so is there anything coming up where people will see you or hear from you? Or
oh boy, yeah, is there? I'm not speaking, but I will be at PGConf EU, helping Redgate run the table there. Going to be at Techorama in the Netherlands. I think I'm talking Postgres at that one. I forget. And Also, Red Gate is hosting three events coming up, two Pass On Tours and the Pass Summit, of course, in November. Yeah. And that's the big one. You know, you and a couple of thousand of your closest friends. But then the Pass On Tour, there's one in Dallas coming up next month in September. And then in October, we'll be in the Netherlands. I won't make that one.
Wonderful.
Because my son is getting married. So
cool. Congrats. Yeah, good.
Family took priority over my job. But
and so it should. Hey, so listen, thanks so much for being involved today, Grant.
Oh, no, thank you for having me. And those people who don't know, I was late.
all good.
Greg was kind about it, so it's all good.
Terrific. Thank you.